بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So from next week we'll begin a new topic, inshallah. But for we had the one lesson in the middle, so I thought as a suffix, as an addendum to what we discussed on salah, we'll discuss the different types of nafal salah today. There was a number of topics that were left from salah which I had in mind, but we didn't have time to cover. So I thought this is one beneficial topic: the different types of nafal salah. Now, the first thing that we must understand, which many of us will have learnt when we are young, is that in general, nafal salah doesn't have restrictions. You can perform nafal salah almost all the time. You can perform however many rakats of nafal salah you want. Yes, when it comes to the time to perform nafal salah, there are three times in the day where you cannot perform nafal salah. The first time in the day is from when Fajr time begins until about 10 to 15 minutes after sunrise. So the moment Fajr time begins, after that it is makruh to perform nafal salah. Entire Fajr time. After Fajr time will end at sunrise. And then after about 10, 15 minutes or so, the reason I'm not giving an exact number is because the hadith actually mentioned that when the sun has risen above the horizon equal to about a spear's length, and the fuqaha mentioned certain signs, but this varies according to a season. So in certain seasons of the year, we usually have a habit of in our masajid that 10 minutes after sunrise you can perform ishraq salah. Means 10 minutes after sunrise the time for makruh time, the makruh time for nafal salah is finished. So that statement in India is perfectly fine. In India, because it's a country with a closer to the equator, the timings are moderate, night and day timing throughout the year. So throughout the year, to say 10 minutes after sunrise, the makruh time has ended, it's perfectly fine. But we people exported the statement and brought it here with us from India, and it's not fully correct here. Here, in certain times of the year, more going towards winter, 10 minutes is not sufficient. So, at the very least, one should do amal upon 15 minutes in winter, and he can do 10 minutes in summer. And if he does, as a precaution, he does 15 minutes throughout the whole year, that is even better. So that is the first makruh time. From beginning of Fajr until 15 minutes, let's say, as a precaution, imagine 15 minutes after sunrise. In that time, you can't read Nafal Salah. We're just discussing Nafal Salah. We're not discussing Qada Salah, anything like that at the moment, because the topic is Nafal Salah. The second time is about 10 minutes or so before Zawal, before Dhuhr time begins. So Dhuhr time these days will be about, I don't know, 12, let's say 12, let's say 10 past 1 as an approximation. So 10 minutes before that. So 1 o'clock till 10 past 1. This is also a time when it is makruh to perform nafal salah. That is the second time. And the third time when it is makruh to perform nafal salah is after you have performed your asr salah until maghrib time begins. So if we performed our asr salah at at 8:55, so from that time for us until maghrib now it is makruh to perform nafal salah. And if you were to perform your asr time early, then the time would begin earlier for you. So those are the three times: one at the beginning of the day, one in the middle of the day, and one approaching the end of the day. Those are three makruh times which you don't perform nafal salah in there. Other than that, you are free to perform nafal salah whenever you want. That's exactly what nafil is for. There are no restrictions. You are at work and you finished everything, you've relieved yourself, whatever. Maybe just salah to perform, you've performed it. And you're free and you're sitting, and the thought comes to perform two rakats, will salah do so? But to encourage us further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our deen has fixed certain nafal salahs during different times of the day, different times when it is when certain things happen. So one aspect of this is the nafal salah that is fixed after different salah, after dhuhr salah, there is two rakat nafal there, after maghrib, after the sunnah, there is two rakat nafal. There are those. And the second thing which I wish to focus today is certain nafal salah which have been named and mentioned specifically in the hadith. So we'll try to get through the main ones. The first one is the tahajjud salah, which is performed at night time. Out of all the nafal salah, this is the best nafal salah. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says it in the hadith that after the first salah, the compulsory salah, the best nafal salah is the tahajjud salah. And in fact, it's so virtuous that before the five salah became compulsory, deen was revealed slowly. So it wasn't from day one, five times salah is compulsory. We all know the very famous incident of Mi'raj, when the command was given to perform the five times salah. So before that, five times salah wasn't compulsory. Before that, for quite a decent stretch of time, the tahajjud salah was compulsory. And then afterwards it became optional. But it was still, it is very much emphasized in terms of virtue. There is a famous, very famous verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-Sajdah, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, regarding certain mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, the sides remain separate from the beddings. And the majority of the mufassirin say, this refers to those people who are performing the tahajjud salah. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned some qualities of such people. One quality is this, that they perform the tahajjud salah. Another quality, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, they ask Allah Ta'ala with hope and fear. They have both. They make dua for Jannah, they have hope in Jannah, they make dua for safety from Jahannam, they have that fear. And the third quality, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from the wealth Allah Ta'ala has given them. So three qualities you can say were mentioned. Tahajjud Salah, make dua with fear and hope. And spending. And after mentioning these three qualities, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِي لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيْنٍ, no one knows what precious treasures Allah Ta'ala has kept in store for such people. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explaining this verse, he says that in the Jannah there are such things that no eye has seen. No, I have seen means that there's nothing similar to it in the world. I see what is in the world, there's absolute. There are some blessings of Jannah that they're given a name, and a name we understand. Fruits, there is fruits in this world. And the hadith mentioned time and time again, there will be fruits in Jannah. So when it is mentioned there will be fruits in Jannah, then a picture comes to mind of different fruits that we see in the world, and the fruits in Jannah will look like this. The taste will be totally different. It will be so much better. But at the very least, there will be something that we call fruits. There is something we call fruits in the world, and there will be something called fruits in Jannah. There is something we call palaces in this world, and there is also something called palaces in Jannah. Of course, the quality and the size, etc., will be totally different. But this, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is saying that for these people there will be such blessings that there is no such thing that can be similar to them, that has the same name, that can be compared to them in the world. Because there is nothing like it in the world. There is such things that لا عين رأت, no eye has seen, ولا أذن سمعت, and no ear has heard of. ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and the thought of it hasn't passed anyone's mind. It's not even in the world of imagination. You will not be able to reach those blessings. But a person can imagine so much more, can't he? One is that this type of building, this type of mansion is feasible. And in the world of imagination, he goes so many levels above. I would like it like this, like that. Person has a passion for cars. In reality, a car can be of this type. In the world of imagination, he can go to so many different levels.
تخاول بيمو انك تسال انك تقل. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even in the world of imagination, the blessings these people will receive, you can't get there. And that is why in all the, if we look at the history of the Ummah, then you will see that the pious people of the past, the, pretty much all of them had a habit of performing the tahajjud salah. It's not compulsory. But despite it not being compulsory, the pious people, it was a general habit to perform the tahajjud salah. And in fact, in the people of the past, they may not have had salah in the exact form we do. You know, when you stand up and then you go in ruku and then you perform two sajdas. But they had their own forms of worship. So worshipping Allah Ta'ala at night time, at the tahajjud time, this was something which was in the past nations as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif where he says that alaykum bi qiyam al-layl, hold fast to worshipping Allah, performing salah at night. Why? Because it was a habit of the pious people before you as well. You can say it's a sign of piety that a person performs the tahajjud salah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that it's a means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, number one. Number two, it's a means of forgiveness of your sins. So it will forgive the sins you have already done. And number three, it will keep you away from sins in future. It has these qualities. And before moving on, I will mention one more virtue that which has been related from multiple Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the likes of Ibn Abbas and others as well radiallahu anhu, that he says that on the day of judgment everyone will be waiting for resurrection. Everyone will have been resurrected, everyone will gather, and they will all be waiting now for the reckoning to begin. Before the reckoning begins, an announcement will be made, Nada Munadin, and the announcement will be, where are those people whose sides used to remain separate from the beddings at night? Meaning they used to busy themselves in tahajjud salah at night. So the hadith mentions that these people will get up, and there will be few in number. The hadith says, out of all the people, there will be few in number. They will get up and they will enter Jannah without reckoning, and then the reckoning will begin. So this is, I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the virtues of tahajjud salah. But we should try to perform the tahajjud salah. Acha. Now, let us go into a few more details regarding the tahajjud salah. The first is that the best time for tahajjud salah is after half the night starts. After half the night has ended. The night starts from Maghrib until Subah Sadiq. So in our time, you can say the night will start at about 9:40. And, you know, 1:20 or so for us. Although it's a different issue altogether that we don't have true night at the moment, but let's without ignoring that issue at the moment. That is the night. So approximately half the night, that is when the best time for tahajjud begins. You can perform tahajjud anytime during the night, after the Isha Salah, we'll discuss that. But the best time is after half the night. So the best time is really you go to sleep and then you wake up. And there is a reason for that. The reason for that is that and those people who ever have a chance of going to sleep, waking up and performing tahajjud salah, they will feel this, that you perform, you wake up, your mind is fresh, nothing on your mind. One benefit is that something else is already running through my mind. Tahajjud salah, this worship in the night, this tahajjud salah, the main objective of it is you get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A method has been chosen for it in which there is, your mind is as free as possible. So you wake up, so you're fresh. You know, it's not that you're already tired from some other task, or your mind is already distracted. You're fresh, number one. Number two, it's a time when there's as few distractions as possible. Few people are awake at that time. Few other activities are going on. So your mind is fresh, there are few other distractions. So it is very, very easy to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the ideal time for tahajjud salah, is after half the night begins. And the best method, which was the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which the hadith also mentioned, was the method of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, is, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would in general do amal on this. Sometimes his habit used to vary, but in general, is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would wake up at half the night, approximately half the night. Wake up at half the night, perform the tahajjud salah, until 1/6 of the night remains. So for 1/3 of the night, so if you wake up at half the night and you perform salah for 1/3 of the night, there is 1/6 remaining, and then he would go to sleep. So he would rest a little bit before Fajr, you can say. So that is the absolute best. If someone can do that, alhamdulillah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud had three main qualities. The first quality was that it was at this time of the night, after half the night has passed. The second quality of his tahajjud salah is that in general it was 8 rak'at. This sometimes used to do 2, sometimes 4, there are different methods mentioned. But in general, it was 8 rak'at altogether of tahajjud salah. And the third quality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud salah is it was lengthy. Very lengthy. So, if someone can do that, alhamdulillah. We can wake up at that time, alhamdulillah. You can do 8 rakats, alhamdulillah. And you can make it lengthy, alhamdulillah. A non-hafiz can also make it lengthy. He knows different surahs. Achha. But our deen always strives to make things easy for us. So that is the ideal method of tahajjud salah, that you wake up in the night, you read 8 rakats and lengthy rakats. But of course that is easier said than done. So deen has given us an easier method, in which all three of these difficult aspects are dropped. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, that عليكم بقيام الليل ولو حلب شات وما كان بعد العشاء فهو من الليل. That perform the tahajjud salah, even if it is equal to the time that it takes to milk an animal. That means a short amount of time. In that time, there was no clocks. So even if it is 10 minutes, even if it is 5 minutes, you can't say that. So in that time, they use methods like this. So you perform the tahajjud salah, even if it is a short time. Even if it is a short time means, even if you don't manage so many rak'ats. Even if you don't manage so long tilawah. So but perform it. And then after that, he said that whatever is after the Isha Salah, is whatever nafil is after the Isha Salah is part of tahajjud. Meaning the time for tahajjud begins after you have performed your Isha. After you have performed your Isha means you have performed your fardh of Isha. So you can see he dropped all three aspects. That if you find it difficult to wake up in the night, then perform it after Isha. You find it difficult to perform 8 rakats or lengthy rakats, then perform short rakats. So looking at this, no person should miss the tahajjud salah. Isha salah is compulsory and we all perform the Isha salah. Or we should all be performing the Isha salah. So we are in Isha salah, we'll have a habit of performing 4 rakats for 2 rakats sunnah and 3 rakats witr. So with that, ideally before the witr, but if you, for whatever reason you can, after the witr is also fine, add in 2 rakats in the full salah. With the intention that this is tahajjud salah. Then inshallah you will be performing the tahajjud salah, you will be gaining at least some of the virtues of performing the tahajjud salah. And also make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that oh Allah grant me the tawfiq to wake up in the final portion of the night. And where possible make plans. Those people who perform Fajr salah early in summer should definitely perform tahajjud salah at its correct time, at its best time. Very easy, you are going to wake up for Fajr anyway, or you're staying awake till Fajr. So those last 20 minutes, last 10 minutes, busy yourself in tahajjud salah. 2 rakats, up to all the way, you can go up to 8 rakats. It's also a time for the acceptance of dua, make dua. And those people who don't do that, then in winter, especially in our winter, it's very, very easy to get full 6-7 hours sleep and still wake up and you will have woken up well before Fajr time begins. In the height of winter, it's quite easy. We just don't have a habit of going to sleep early. You go to sleep at 10 o'clock, half past 10. You can get good, sometimes get good 6-7 hours sleep and still wake up for the tahajjud salah, so you're fresh. You don't even need to go back to sleep after that. But a person should make, number one, a person should at least make sure he performs tahajjud salah after Isha. And number two, a person should make intention and he should make a dua. That wherever he can, he will wake up and perform tahajjud salah at its ideal time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Amin. Alhamdulillah.